Good afternoon. This is Lectionary at Lunch for the Sunday of the Passion with the unwieldy amount of Mark 14:1 through the end of chapter 15, which is 15:47. We are not going to be doing all of this, and anybody who preaches on the entire thing is crazy. I'm going to pick several key pericopes and go through those. So we'll begin with 14:1. And we will take that through the Garden of Gethsemane incident in verse 42 and then the crucifixion. So first, 14:1. And there was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Atzimah, which are celebrated together, after 2 days. And the chief priests and the scribes at Zaytun were seeking, perhaps began to seek, how him in or by guile, kratesantes, having seized, they might kill. How they might kill him, having seized him by guile. Now, a couple of important things in this verse. First, note the subjunctive apoktainosin, probably aorist, it could be present. Aorist, subjunctive active from apoktaino, to kill. And what it does, it's indirect. They were seeking how they might do this because it reflects the indirect deliberative subjunctive. How shall we kill him? So they were seeking how they should kill him. It's in a secondary sequence. In other words, that subjunctive, standing behind that subjunctive, apoktainosin, is the deliberation, how shall we do this? Secondly, notice that it's the chief priests and the scribes. These are very unlikely allies. The scribes go with the Pharisees, scribes being the seminary professors, Pharisees being the Lutheran Layman's League, and the chief priests being the East Coast liberals. So you have essentially a combination here that shows how desperate this coalition was against Jesus. Note Mark's nice use of the imperfect with et zetum. For they were saying, verse 2, not in during the feast, lest there be a thoribus, an uproar of the people. You'd expect a subjunctive after me pote. But in fact, what you get is the indicative esti, which is, what would you say, overly vivid? There are some manuscripts that read, you can see in the textual apparatus, genetai, which is a very proper subjunctive with after me pote. But I think that this indicates that they felt that there really would be an upset among the people. 3. Now, from 3 to 9 is the story of the anointing by the woman. And, starting with a genitive absolute, untus autu, while he was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, another genitive absolute, kata kaimenu autu, while he was reclining at table, elthen gune, a woman came, echusa, having, woman does not have the article, so you can say who had, you can take this as attributive, who had alabastron, an alabaster jar, miru, of unguent, ointment, nardu pisticase, pure nard, polytelus, very expensive. So she here having this alabaster jar. Now another participle, syntrypsasa, feminine singular nominative aorist active participle of syntribo, to rub together or to rub off, to break. Having rubbed, broken the alabaster jar, kat echeen, she proceeded to pour it out on, kat echo is going to take the genitive, on his head, tes kephales, on his head. You could take out to as the adverb out to, meaning there, somebody pointing a finger there on his head, but otherwise we'll take it as his, on his head. Now, let me comment on this. This alabaster flask is long and thin. There's not a stopper. There's just a long, thin neck head. And it's broken off. Hence, you get syntribo. So that meant that she had to use up the whole thing because there's no way to put, so to speak, a stopper back into it. It's very expensive. We're going to learn later on, when the people complain about this in verse 5, we're going to learn that it was worth 300 denarii. Now, a denarius is a day's wage. Multiply that out. That's a year's salary. A year's salary in that costly, costly bar, alabaster jar of unguent. 4. Eson tines. Notice tines doesn't have any accent. So some were aganactuntes. Some were getting huffy, getting irritated, proshautus, getting riled among themselves, toward themselves. Eiste, for what is this apolia, this loss, this destruction? This is related to apolemi, the verb. This loss of unguent. For what has this loss of unguent gegenen? Has it occurred and it's now done? Can't put it back in the bottle anymore. For, or you know, this unguent was able, a dinata, prathenai, that's an aorist passive participle from piprasco, to sell, was able to be sold for more than 300 denarii and dothenai, to be given to the poor. Now, the denarii, the cost there, the denarii, is in the genitive, and that's called the genitive of price. So it's sold for, and then you give the price of the thing in the genitive case. And en ebrimonta aute, and they began to harumph at her. Embrimaomai is used all the way back in Mark chapter 1 when Jesus does the same thing in 1:43. Concerning the leper that he heals. And it says in verse 43, embrimesamenos, having harumphed at him, immediately he threw him out. This is a word of being greatly upset. So you don't want to, in 1:43, you don't want to translate that as admonish or something like that. This word embrimaomai is used for the snorting of war horses. So that's why I'm going to be translating in my Mark commentary, harumphing. They began to harumph at her. Notice it's imperfect. Hode Jesus. And Jesus said, let her, allow her. This is afiemi, with the meaning of allow, let. And remember, you know probably afiemi most likely as forgive, to forgive. That's its most common meaning in our literature. Otherwise, it means to allow, and then sometimes it has a third meaning of to leave, kind of like lipo. Allow her. Ti aute kopus parechete. Why do you furnish her grief? Kopus, stuff that's hard on her. Kolon ergon ergasata en emoi. A good work she has done in my case. En emoi is generally something, you know, it might have been just a dative, like with respect to me, but otherwise, in my case. Pantote, always, for always, the poor people, echete, you have with yourselves. And when you thelete, note the subjunctive, present tense, when you truly desire, you are able for them well to do. You are able to do good, do well for them. But me, you do not always have. Now, I want you to notice the word order here. Jesus has this. I think the translations miss this sometimes, and there's no reason to. Notice at the beginning of 7, tous ptohus is drawn up to the front, and then in the second part of it, eme is drawn up to the front of the clause. So the poor you have always, but me you do not always have. Now pay attention to the next part, because I think I differ from most translations here. Ha eschen epoiesen. The translations will say something like, she did what she could. Actually, echo has as one of its meanings to grasp, to understand. And I think that's what we have here. That which she has grasped, she has done. I'm going to talk about that in a second here. Proelaben murisai tosomamu. She has undertaken pro ahead of time to anoint my body for ton en tafias mun. Anything with taf has to do, like epitaph, has to do with a burying, grave, anything like that. So she has anointed my body ahead of time for its burial. Truly I say to you, wherever, e'an goes with hapu, hapu an, hapu e'an, wherever kerichthe, it's going to take a subjunctive, there it is, third singular aorist subjunctive passive, wherever the gospel is proclaimed into all the world, also that which haute, this woman epoiesen, has done, will be openly spoken for her remembrance, in memory of her. Now, why? Why? I think it goes back to verse 8. That which she has grasped, she has done. And she anointed his body ahead of time. Well, why did she do that? She did that because when criminals were executed, they were not allowed to be anointed for burial prior to their burial. And she believed his passion prediction that he would in fact be suffering and dying. Now, that's why, you know, if you go ahead to chapter 16, you realize that in 16:1, the women had bought spices in order that they might anoint him. See, they weren't able to do that before the burial. That was not allowed. But they were going to do that after he was buried. let the other shoe drop. Why didn't she just go to the tomb? The answer is because she also believed the last part of his passion prediction, which is that he would rise again on the third day. In other words, she knew he wouldn't be there to be anointed. This is why this will be proclaimed in memory of her. This is a tremendous, profound pericope of the woman actually understanding that not only would he die according to his words of the passion prediction, and remember the three of them, 8:31, 9:31, 10:33, and 34. Not only would he die, but he would also rise again, and therefore he would not be available for anointing. Verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, ha heis ton dodeca, the one of the 12. It's interesting that there's that modifying clause. It could be that there was another Judas around that people knew, maybe even from Iscariot is probably from Karioth, Ish, the word for man, Ish, Karioth, the man from Karioth. One of the 12 went away to the chief priests. Hina, here comes our purpose clause, taking the subjunctive. Hina, in order that he might hand him over, betray him to them. Now note the form paradoi. That is an aorist subjunctive active with a kind of an odd morphology there that would parallel an a-o contract verb. Take a look in Fundamental Greek Grammar, chapter 31, which has the a-o contract verbs, and you'll see how they, in the first principal part, when they're doing their contracting, the subjunctives will be de lo, de lois, de loi, just like that. And it seems as if even these aorist forms are mimicking those a-o contract verb forms. Notice the object is in front of the verb, which is a pretty typical Markan characteristic. If you take a look at the variant reading here, you will notice that the variant reading read by Aleph, C, L, Delta, Psi, lots of good manuscripts here for Mark, have para do, and that would be do with a yoda subscript there, which is, they don't put the yoda subscripts in the apparatus. That would be the more normal, classical, third-person singular subjunctive. we follow B here because it's the less grammatical choice. So Judas goes for this purpose. 11. Hoide, and they, switching the subject, so now it's the chief priests, and they, upon hearing, echareson, rejoiced. Third person plural, but it's technically an aorist indicative passive. They rejoiced and epangailanta, third person plural again also. This time, though, it's aorist indicative middle from epangelomai to promise. And they promised him argurion to dunai, to give him money. And he was seeking how him opportunely he might betray. Now, note that form paradoi again. We've got the same form and same kind of textual thing. If you look down in the apparatus at dot 11, you're going to see parado once again. But this is that other form that's congruent with the uh-oh contract verbs. Why subjunctive? Again, deliberative subjunctive. How shall I betray him? That's what's reflected behind that paradoi subjunctive. Now, a couple of things before we move on. Number one, Note that this is a Markan intercalation. I've talked about that on previous lectionary at lunches. That is to say, you have A, B, A, chiasm in format. A here is 14, 1 to 2. It is the chief priests plotting to kill Jesus. A prime is 10 to 11. It's the fruition of that plot with Judas Iscariot. In between is what? The anointing of Jesus for his burial. And that really informs, actually, the elements on the outside. Now, how would it inform that? Well, it lets you know that actually all of this is already prearranged. These other people think they're acting in a way that's contrary to God. In fact, they're fulfilling God's purposes. Verse 12. And on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's our Adzimon, reference again 14:1. When the Passover Ethion was being sacrificed. So this is at the time that the Passover lambs are sacrificed for the celebration that's upcoming. His disciples say to him, now notice that lapse to the present tense, which Mark so often does, and this really kind of heightens the scene. Where do you desire apelphuntas hetoimasomen hina phages ta pascha? Whoa, what a syntactical feast here. Where do you desire that we, having gone away, prepare for you to eat the Passover? Where do you desire that we prepare that you eat the Passover? Please notice, the hina clause in Hellenistic Greek functions as the infinitive would. If you just imagine the infinitive there with something like se phagein, desire you to eat the Passover, that's what this is. Eventually, the hina clause drove the infinitive out of business in Greek, and in modern Greek, there is no infinitive. So, where do you desire that we we've got this same thing with this subjunctive, with this deliberative thing standing behind it. Where shall we prepare that you eat the Passover? Now, phages, let me just parse that to make sure. That is a aorist subjunctive active, second singular, from estheo, phagamai, ephagun. Of course, augment goes off. 13. Kai apostelai, and he sends, note the present again, he sends two of his disciples and says to them, very kind of a high tension thing here. Hypagete, go into the city, and op on tesai humin anthropos, kerameon Huditus bastadzon. Go into the city, and will meet you a man. A man will meet you, carrying bastadzon, a ceramic of water. You see the word ceramic in there? So that is a pottery jar of water. Ekaluthesate auto. Follow him. I want you to notice that follow him is an aorist imperative. Usually, follow is in the present tense, particularly when that's a kind of a policy command that essentially talks about a person's life. Take a look back at 8:34, where Jesus says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and akaluthaito me, which is follow me, with the present stem imperative, because this is something that's a policy that's going to be done a person's whole life. Here, it's a specified case command. You just want him to follow him wherever he's going to go this time. 14. And wherever, on, again, is going to take the subjunctive. It generalizes it. And wherever ice elthe, there you see the subjunctive. That's an aorist subjunctive active, third singular from erchemai, ice erchemai. And wherever he goes, ipate, say to the master of the house, hoti, probably as recitative, giving you the quotation. The teacher says, where is the katalima mu? Where is my guest room where the Passover with my disciples I shall eat? Ipate is an imperative, second person plural of ipon. I want you to notice that alpha there, though. That's with a weak aorist connecting vowel on a strong aorist stem. Say to the householder, the teacher says, where is my guest room? Now, I want you to notice that word katalima. Check out at your leisure Luke 2, verse 7. That's where it says in the birth story of Jesus that she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the katalima. It doesn't mean inn or hotel. It means guest room. In Luke 2, verse 7, probably the guest room was filled with people coming for the enrollment that had been mandated by Caesar Augustus. And so because there was no room to lay a baby, she laid him in the manger where the animals were in the house of someone from the lineage of David. So here, the same word is used, katalima, where is my guest room? Where I shall eat. Notice phago, again, subjunctive. Why? Deliberative, like this. Where shall I eat? So it's deliberative, and that is reflected in the hapu clause. Where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. Now, before we go on, let me just observe how incredibly revolutionary that verse is. If you go back to Exodus, the Passover is to be eaten with the family. Look at Exodus 12. The Passover is to be eaten with the family. Jesus had relatives. Jesus had relatives in Jerusalem because he was of the house and lineage of David. There would have always been somebody with property in Jerusalem. And he is not eating with his family. He is instead eating with his disciples. This is a concrete instantiation of Mark 3, 31 to 35. Take a look at that when you can. And especially the latter verses where he looks around in 34 and 35 and he says, see my mother and my brothers, whoever does the will of God, this one is my mother and my brother and my sister and my mother. In other words, not the mother and brother standing outside in verse 31, but his real family are the fellow believers, those who are one with him under the new reign and rule of God. This is quite extraordinary here, that Jesus is not celebrating the Last Supper with his blood kin. There's no greater testimony to the fact that of Jesus' other statement, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. It's exactly like that here. 15. And he, autos, probably not meaning self, probably meaning and he, i.e. the guy with the ceramic jar, and he will show you an agion, an upper room, a big one, mega, estromenon. Hey, how good is that? That is a perfect passive participle from stronemi, outfitted and prepared, hetoimon. So that form, that participle is a neuter singular accusative participle from the fifth principal part. Remember, mega there is a neuter. That's not a feminine. Mega is a neuter singular adjective from megas. And there, hetoimasate hemin, prepare for us. And his disciples went out, and they came into the city. This is verse 16. And they discovered it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. 17. And after it had gotten late, he comes with the 12. Now, is that different than the two disciples up in 13? Maybe. And while they were reclining at table, that's kind of fancy there. Jews normally sat on with tables and chairs, but they reclined on eating couches at major feast times, major celebrations, Passover, and so forth. And while they were reclining at table and were eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, you can take the that as that, or you can simply take it as quotation marks. I say to you, one of you, paradosai, will betray me, ha estheon, the one eating with me. They began to grieve, lupaisthai. Now note that, present passive infinitive, with the passive being used in an active but intransitive sense. Not to be grieved, but to grieve. Notice that the best manuscripts here omit, aleph, b, l, c, they omit any connecting word, which heightens the tension here. They began, not and they began. They began to grieve and to say to him, heis kata heis, one by one. Meti ego. Now, meti expects a negative answer. So you should translate it like this. It's not I, is it? It is not I, is it? Expecting a negative answer. Hode, and he said to them, hode switches the subject, one of the 12, the one who dips with me into the triblion, the common bowl. Holy smoke. Isn't that an interesting statement? One of the 12? Well, there must be other people there. Because if there are only 12 and he, you wouldn't say, one of the 12 is going to do it. No, you'd say one of you is going to do it. So I think that starts to make us wary that in verse 17, when it says he comes with the 12, that the two disciples of verse 13 are not part of the 12. There are some other disciples, and it looks like, contra the great scene of The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci, it looks like there are more people here than just the 12. 21. Because, ha man, on the one hand, the Son of Man goes just as it stands written, gegraptai, concerning him, but, de, woe to that man through whom the Son of Man, paradidatai, is betrayed. Now here's where I like to use that gonna be. He is going to be betrayed. I mean, this is that use of the present that's futuristic, like if you say, I am traveling to London tomorrow. You mean, I'm going to travel to London tomorrow. So that's the same thing right here. Through whom the Son of Man is being betrayed, is gonna be betrayed. Kolon auto, it is better for him if he had not been born that man. Now, let me talk about that. That's difficult, that last clause. First of all, I'm taking kolon as better rather than good. You could take it as good, but a tov in Hebrew is used like this, probably a Hebraism. It is good for him, meaning it is better for him. Better for him if he had not been born, and then there's that man. I think people don't realize how difficult this sentence is because it probably reads most naturally something like this. It would be better for him if that man had not been born. Now, I mean, that's kind of the straightforward reading of that, and I'm toying with that as an understanding, namely, if that man had not been born, meaning the Son of Man. So it would be better for the betrayer if that man had not been born, because he would not be engaged in this heinous act. Otherwise, you kind of put a dash there before ho anthropos. It would be better for him if he had not been born, dash, that man. You know, consider the other option, though, that that man is different than auto. I mean, I suppose you could even try this. It would be better for him, namely the Son of Man, if that man had not been born, i.e. his betrayer. Except, I think, the whole drive to the cross probably, and the nature of giving his life as a ransom for many, probably goes against that idea. 22. And while they were eating, Labon, aorist active participle, masculine singular nominative, having taken bread, oilegesos, having blessed it. Notice how arton, bread, stands between the two participles as their object. Having taken bread, he blessed it, bread. He broke it, again, and gave edoken. Now, there is the simple aorist active indicative third singular. He gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. Very straightforward. And having taken a cup, poteiron is really little cup, but Mark likes to use diminutives. Having taken a cup, eucharistesos, having blessed, again, cup, it, he gave it to them, and all, pontes, epion, proceeded to drink from it. I just wanted to comment here with these strings of nominative participles, labon oilegesos, labon eucharistesos. You have that same kind of thing back in chapter 6 at the feeding of the 5,000, where you have Jesus in verse 41, chapter 6, verse 41, labon, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, anablepsos. See, you have that same stringing. You find this exactly in Plato in the scene for the death of Socrates, where he strings these participles in the nominative along exactly in the same way. It's very decent Greek. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, ta ek hinomenon, which is being poured out on behalf of many, or which is gonna be poured out on behalf of many. Notice it doesn't say new covenant there. There are variant readings for that. But it simply says, it most probably, given the manuscript evidence, probably this is my blood of the covenant. And then that which is going to be poured out is neuter, you'll notice, so it refers to blood, not to covenant. Now, this probably, if you're reading along in the Nestle text, take a look at Zechariah 9:11, which talks about the blood of the covenant. But then there's also the reference there that's very important, Jeremiah 31:31-34. And this is about the new covenant that God is going to make with the house of Israel. And it's the one where he's going to put his law within them and write it on their hearts. And no longer will each man teach his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they'll know me for the greatest to the least. I will forgive their iniquity. This is in Jeremiah 31:34. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So that's always the root thing. Sin and relationship to God is always the root thing. And finally, you have got to do something about this sin, absolutely, and that's what we get here. You're going to want to see as a you're going to want to see as a parallel here 10:45, where Jesus says that the Son of Man came not to be served and to serve and to give his life as a litron, as a ransom in the place of many. So notice here this wording, on behalf of many. It's that there is the concept coming to fruition of that new covenant now. This is a very crucial, this covenant in Jesus' blood is essentially the thing that is not only his goal, but the denouement, you might say, of the Gospel of Mark. Truly I say to you, verse 25, that no longer ume plus the aorist subjunctive is emphatic. No longer will I ever drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it. Now, hotan is going to take the subjunctive again, and pino there is a present subjunctive active. When I am going to drink it, kainun, anew, that's a neuter accusative singular which is used adverbially. Drink it anew in the reign and rule of God, in the kingdom of God. And so this is probably a reference to the eschatological feast when he will, when he's going to drink it anew again. Verse 26, Kai humnesantes, and after having sung a hymn. Now, why that? That's because at the end of the Passover celebration, there were hymns that were sung. So this is the Passover feast. And by the way, the fruit of the vine thing there cannot mean that it wasn't really wine. I mean, they're doing a Passover for Pete's sake, and they use wine. So you're just huffing and puffing if you're trying to find ways in which the normal use of wine is actually not being used by Jesus. So having sung a hymn, he went out into the Mount of Olives. It's always that phrase, into the mountain. And Jesus says to them, Hoti is hoti recitative. All will scatter. All of you will scatter because it stands written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Now, both of these are passives used in an active intransitive sense. This is just like that lupaisthai in verse 19, passive used in an active intransitive sense. Here's my inevitable reference. Fundamental Greek Grammar, chapter 24, section D. It's one of the reasons I have it in the book. They are all over the place, these particular constructions. Now, that Zechariah, you'll notice, there is a Zechariah 13 reference there. And the latter chapters of Zechariah are very important for Jesus and for his ministry and as descriptions of what's going to happen. And let me just read to you from Zechariah 13. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, says the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, one-third shall be left alive. I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say they are my people, and they will say the Lord is my God. Well, I think you can see this, this whole thing being brought to pass, that they're going to be refined as silver. You can see this in the disciples, as in the Garden of Gethsemane, they've got this problem. But Jesus is finally the one who is not only the shepherd, but he is also the sheep. And he is the one who finally answers. He is the people, and he is the one who finally is the one who trusts in God. A very interesting context there in Zechariah 13, verses 7 and following. Now, verse 28 is exceedingly important. But after I have arisen, egerthenai, aorist passive, infinitive, once again, chapter 24, section D, after I have arisen, the met is the subject of the infinitive, praoxel, I will go before you into Galilee. Folks, this is an absolutely critical promise of Jesus. Every prediction he has made, such as the guy with the jar that that's going to lead them in 14:13, every one of these predictions come true. And if you look at 10:34, which is the third passion prediction, at the end it says, after 3 days the Son of Man will rise. Okay? So here, I will go before you into Galilee after I have arisen. Now, it is that promise of 14:28 that is referred to by the young man at the tomb in white raiment in 16 verse 7. This is very important to see this for your Easter sermon. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. His predictions always come true. And this is probably as chief a one as there is, namely that after he has arisen, he will go before them into Galilee. Now, what comes next is, Peter says, if all stumble, not be scandalized, same thing, but not I, strong adversative, not I. Now, Jesus says to him, I tell you that today, on this night, prin A, go together, before twice the rooster phonesi calls, prin A takes the infinitive, hence phonesi is the infinitive, before the rooster calls out, three times me you will deny. Hode, Peter. But he, more abundantly, was saying, proceeded to say out loud, if it is necessary, notice de A, interesting form, that is the subjunctive of die. Day, some people say, delta, epsilon, iota. It is necessary. When the subjunctive comes, these do not contract. If it is necessary, me to die with you, that I die with you, ou me se ap arnesomai, I shall surely not deny you, and so say all the others. Now, I want you to notice something here. This, I think, is the reason that in chapter 16, verse 7, the young man says, go tell his disciples and Peter. Okay, why and Peter? Well, it says, he is going before you into Galilee. Note that this is all in the same context in chapter 14. So in other words, his prediction of going into Galilee is bound up intimately with the denial of St. Peter, Jesus' prediction of the denial of Peter, and then, of course, Peter does deny. So the two things are very, very intimately linked. You know, I think we'd better stop there in 14. I've already gone on fairly long here. And let's go to 15, to the crucifixion scene. And so we'll start with verse 22. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha. Notice the present tense is used here, present tense heightening this, which is methermenoiomenon, interpretive, skull's place. You see the word cranium there? the topos of the cranium, and edidun, and they were trying to give him esmirnis menon, doctored up wine. They were trying to give him wine with additives in it. Hode, hosde is like hode, but he did not take it. Plato's got exactly that use of hosde, just like that. 24. And they crucify him. Note the present tense again. And they proceed to crucify him. And they divide his garments, balantes, for themselves, by the way. Notice dia merizontai is a middle. They divide his garments by throwing a lot for them. Who, what, are, who picks up what? Are is the aorist active subjunctive of airo. It's not from hireo. It's from airo, to lift up, to take up. And again, it's subjunctive because there's delivery. Hey, who's going to get what? Notice that balantus is also repetitive. 25. And was the third hour. It was the third hour, and they crucified him. Now, I don't read that chi as when. It is third hour when they crucified him. I think it's a kind of a concluding statement to just the tragedy of all this. You know, previously up there, they compel Simon of Cyrene, and that's all in the present tense. They bring him to Golgotha. They try to give him this. They crucify him. They desire, and then it says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And there was the epitaph of his charge. The charge, aitia is a cause or a charge against him. Epigegramene, written, the king of the Jews. And with him, they crucify. I prefer the variant reading there, estauroson, they crucified, following B plus the old Latin. And there, and with him, they crucified two robbers, one ekdexaon and one exoionimon, one on his right and one on his left. Please, folks, if you're preaching on this, cross-reference Mark 10, 35 to 39, where the disciples want to be one on his right and one on his left hand in his glory. And he says to them, you do not know what you are asking for yourselves. That's verse 38 of chapter 10. And he says in verse 40, to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to give, but for those for whom it stands prepared. Well, didn't they think that this was going to be the glory? You can see the glory. Look at the epitaph, King of the Jews. And there's one at his right and one at his left hand. And it's not the disciples. It's the two bandits. And there he is in his glory. 29. And the ones passing along proceeded, note the imperfect, to blaspheme, shaking their heads and saying, woe, ha katalion ton laan, the one tearing down the temple and oikodomon, building it up in 3 days. Now, isn't that interesting, that building in 3 days? There, that's referred to in 1458, and it's referred to in the Gospel of John, but it's nowhere referred to in Jesus' own ministry, not in Mark. Save yourself, soul son, aorist active, imperative, second singular. Save yourself, katabas, aorist active participle from katabino, masculine singular nominative, by coming down from the cross. Similarly, also the chief priests, empaizontes, mocking to one another with the scribes. Holy smoke! There's the same unholy alliance of the chief priests and the scribes. Again, it shows you how desperate the enemies are. They were saying, now look at the word order here. Others he saved, himself he is not able, sosai, to save. Not he saved others, he cannot save himself. No, no, no. Others he saved, himself he is not able to save. Now, perhaps the most significant verse in the entire Gospel of Mark. The Christ, the King of Israel, the Anointed One, the King, let him come down now from the cross, hina idomen kai pistoisomen, in order that we may see and believe. There's what the Gospel of Mark is about. They want to see and then believe. In the Gospel of Mark, you believe and then you see. And that's the way the Gospel of Mark ends in chapter 16. You believe the word that he is going before you into Galilee, then you will see him. This is a tremendous gospel for this. It is about faith and sight and how faith precedes sight and is necessary for it, not the other way around. Notice Jesus does not come down from the cross. And the ones crucified with him began to upbraid him, revile against him. And the sixth hour having come, darkness, agenata, came over all the earth or the land until the ninth hour, for 3 hours. And at the ninth hour, notice dative of point of time, ephobesen, Jesus cried out, Eboesen. He cried out, and that's boe is yelling out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is interpreted, my God, for what reason have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, parhestekoton, from paristemi, some of the ones standing by upon hearing, they're saying, see, look, he is calling Elijah. And dramon, from trecho dramumai edramon, to run, having run, somebody also, gemisas, filling a sponge, with oxys, sharp vinegary wine, perithais, notice all of these strung participles again, putting it around a reed, epotidzen, tried to make him drink, note the imperfect, epotidzen, saying, let us see. Now, they could have just said idomen, but this they actually use let here, interestingly enough, aphete. Let us see if Elijah is coming, kath elain, to take him down, from kath ireel, to lift him down. And Jesus, having left his spirit given out, aphais, aorist, active participle, masculine, singular, nominative, his voice, ex epnoisen, expired. And the temple of the curtain of the temple, eschisthe, aorist, passive, indicative, split into two from top to bottom. And upon seeing it, the centurion, the parhestekos centurion, note that same form up in 35, the one standing beside, ex enantios, opposite him, that thus he had expired, said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Caldwell's rule. Huios theou is definite because it's in front of the verb to be as the predicate, not was a Son of God, but was the Son of God. This is just like John 1:1. Now, last point. I have to bring this to a close. Last point. Jesus cries out with the words of Psalm 22. But it's always the case in the Gospel of Mark that when these quotations are done, it's always contextualized. And the end of Psalm 22, take a look at the end of Psalm 22. At the end of Psalm 22 is a note of triumph. That is, verse 22, I will tell of thy name to my brethren. You who fear the Lord, praise him. He has not despised or abhorred the afflicted. From thee comes praise, and so forth. So the first part is all about the evil, and then the second part is all about how God, in fact, brings people to victory. So I think this is a hook into a larger context. There's the forsakenness with sin, but there is also the note of triumph, using Psalm 22, that he will finally be vindicated, which we know from the Passion prediction. Then also, the splitting of the temple veil. This is probably to be coordinated with chapter 1 of Mark, verse 10, where it says that he saw the heavens splitting and the Spirit coming down as a dove. These are bookends, the splitting of the heavens. Here you want Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Now, why the heavens? Because on this curtain in the temple, and Josephus has an account of this, was embroidered the stars and the figures of heaven. Everything, not the zodiac, but the stars and the images of heaven. So that when that temple curtain splits, the heavens are being rent. And that is the eschatological visitation of God. You see it at the beginning of Jesus' ministry as he makes his appearance, and now you see it at the end as this is brought to fruition with the final giving of his life as a ransom for many. Okay, thank you very much. Plenty here, a lot here, and we could have done even more, but that's a good hour. All right, thank you.